messed up a Foley thing in this episode.
What?
I was looking at goofs, you know, on IMDb. Mm-hmm. And when Joseph runs out to his car, you hear an ignition, but there's no ignition on a Tesla electric whatever. Or at least that's what the goof said.
Oh.
I don't know anything
about it. It's not a remote ignition situation. I would know anything about a Tesla.
I don't know. So. It was just listed under goofs that there was an ignition sound and there shouldn't have been.
Oh, I like it.
I'll take your word for it.
That's what you got to do sometimes. Okay. Well, I'm just going to have this leading into it and we'll start. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Sally Kilpatrick is with me today.
Hello, hello.
And we're going to be talking about the double-edged sword job. This is, I believe, our first episode this season that was directed by Jonathan Frakes, our old friend.
I know. Writer. I got a little excited.
You're like, oh, it's our guy. And I don't think that there were any Star Trek references in this one. And there have been in every other episode.
I don't remember any, but I'm not the best Trekkie.
I'm by far not the best either, but I can usually catch them. I mean, they're really blatant. LeVar Burton.
There's a Chuck reference, but I don't.
There is a Chuck reference. But yeah, if there's a Star Trek one, someone let me know. Tweet at me, at Librarian C. So this episode was written by Josh Scher, who has several writing credits on this show. And this episode, a very private game developer decides the rest of the world's privacy is meaningless, forcing the team to take him down before he can broker a deal with our good friends, RIZ. And they also get to run up against his AI, Elena, who is named for one of the other writers on this season, whose name I can't remember right now, but her first name is Elena. And my apologies. I also mentioned her in the episode that she wrote. So you can go back and listen to that one. It would take too much time for me to look it up. Anyways, I'll probably look it up in a minute and just yell it out. Yeah, this one's scary.
I was getting some distinct, 2001 A Space Odyssey? You know, that whole howl and the, I'm sorry, yeah. I can't do that, Dave.
Yes.
It made me a little tense. It really did.
You might not be of the generation to have seen a lot of Disney original films, but there is a movie called Smart House, and it is about a smart house. And I believe the parents go out of town, and so the kids are under the protection of the smart house, and the smart house goes crazy and also makes herself like a 3D projection. And it's... what's her name? Who plays the mom in Married with Children?
Oh, is it Peg Bunny, Kate Segal?
Yeah, she's like the smart house.
Oh my.
It's so ever since then, anytime someone's like, it's a smart house, I'm like, no.
I know.
We don't mess with that. That's like,
I don't want a smart house. I'm good. I'm good. No.
There was one in Eureka as well, which is an adorable show. But it also malfunctioned quite a bit.
Exactly.
I mean, dumb houses. How much
trouble we have with technology as it is. If I can't get my phone to sync with the Bluetooth on my car, I sure as heck don't want to turn things over to a computer in my house.
Yeah. Yeah. Our internet went down at the library the last like 30 minutes I was there today, and we were all... Like everyone congregated around my desk and was like, I can't do any work.
Well, there's no more card catalogs. So
I know. Like a kid was like, where are the books on electricity? And like, thank God that I know the Dewey Decimal System pretty well. But yeah, like we couldn't answer emails. We couldn't put any book orders in. It was, it was wild. So yeah, but imagining like an entire smart house, like use Wi-Fi, what are you going to do? When we have a hurricane and we lose power,
you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Or if you're like my parents and you live in the middle of nowhere, you would never have internet to make your smart house function.
Exactly. Exactly. So the episode starts off with a mom in Oklahoma City putting her little about to go to kindergartner in her car seat, and then she gets accosted by her abusive ex, and we find out that she was a former client of Leverage, and that Hardison had created this algorithm. We know Hardison has created a lot of algorithms, and this one scrubs your photo from the internet, from everything, even things you didn't realize were up there. And that's how, you know, the team has stayed off the radar. They talked about in the Leverage After podcast that, you know, this is why, and we've talked about this before, like, this is why Elliot can be a minor country star and then nobody who knows can find him, or why he can be a minor league baseball player or a hockey player and then nobody knows who he is. Unless you run in very distinctive circles and you literally know who Elliot Spencer is. Meanwhile, Hardison is in Yemen because, like we were saying, they turned off the internet.
Yeah.
And he likes Yemeni food, but it does not agree with his tummy.
Yes, that's what we learned from Parker.
Just oversharing. And Brianna, I think it's Brianna, who's flummoxed that something could outsmart Hardison's algorithm, that could find Libby when they hid her so well. And I do like that Elliot points out, well, maybe he did it the old-fashioned way. He was just like, hey, keep an eye out for this woman because I'm looking for her. Because that could work. And it could. I think the wiki pointed out that that's what happened in the tap out job, that the tech was undermined by just people being like, oh, look, that's the person. Or I could not remember. The tap out job is not my favorite, so I don't remember a lot of it.
Well, yeah, he's like, it could have been analog, and Brianna just wasn't having any of that.
Yeah, she's like, but are you serious? No. So Brianna says this doesn't make sense. Harry, Parker, and Elliot decide they're going to go check out the small town where this guy is a police officer, which is called Arlo, Louisiana. It's really close by. And somewhere, I think it was in the wiki, they were saying Arlo, Louisiana does not exist, but Arlo is the name of a line of security cameras.
Yeah. Yes.
So we're already getting there. They also said Reese might, the name of the abusive ex, might be a reference to Person of Interest,
yes,
which is a show about an AI that, and facial recognition software that tracks people. And Jim Caviezel, who's, yeah. But yeah, when they get there, something seems off. It's like really idyllic. Elliot's pissed because cops are helping old ladies put their groceries in their car.
Who has time to do that?
Yeah. And it, all of them have like brand new cruisers with high tech gear inside. And Brianna's looking up the crime statistics and it's gone way down in the past like year or so. Just like it's non-existent. And there's like brand new cameras and just new tech everywhere. And they find out that a lot of tech companies, there's a big boom in this area because land is cheap or something. And so maybe it's the tax dollars that's paying for all of this, which seems like the most naive thing for Leverage to say.
Yeah, no,
perhaps.
Yeah. And then they're like, well, or maybe they're renting it out. And I think later they point out that it really is a controlled experiment.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, maybe they're being guinea pigs for something. And that's how they're getting all this money.
But we did kind of gloss over that, which is just as well, because a lot of this just went right over my head.
Yeah. Which may be a good thing. You know, sometimes it's good to not know all the scary things that you could know.
Yeah, no, I was just kind of rolling with it. I was like, yeah, sure.
You're like, yeah.
Root code. Yeah, that means something to me.
Exactly. So yeah, Brianna still has a bad feeling, but she is okay with making Elliot into bait. So they
Not that they told Elliot, because he's all like, what's gonna happen to Elliot?
I love the like looking down into the button cam.
Yes, that was a great shot.
Because to everybody else, it just looks like he's yelling at Parker's chest. These people walking by in this town square. Brianna has made up this warrant for him that he's jumped bail, and he's wanted for petty theft, which then Sophie is offended by.
Yes, I know. Sophie's like, grand theft. Oh, that's better.
Oh, much better. She says petty theft is just insulting. So then they're going to play a waiting game. He's going to go sit at a coffee shop and see how long it takes the cops to come find him. On his way there, he does bump into somebody, and because we understand the rules of a drama, this guy is obviously going to be important later.
Yep.
And it takes negative seconds after he sits down in this coffee shop for the cops to come like screeching up. And Brianna's like, this is outrageous. His half of his face was covered because he's got like a hat and sunglasses on. And it's been 2 seconds. And not only were they able to tag him, they were able to get to him.
Super fast. Yes.
And then I don't know if she says it here or if it's a little later, but they also predicted that what he was going to do next was to go rob a bank.
Yes. I think that came out a little later, but yeah. The predictive capabilities of this loom large in this episode.
Terrifying. And along with the cops that show up is, we find out her name is U.S. Marshal Maria Shipp in a second.
Our new hero. Yes.
our new Bonanno. But a little sexier than Bonanno. No, rest in peace. But love you, Bonanno. And yeah, she manages to take Elliot down, basically. Like, not completely.
Yeah, the cops chase him around the side of the building. She just goes through the building and then kicks him. Mm-hmm. And then sexy fight ensues with the two of them.
Yes. When he disarms her gun and then gives it back to her, she's like, okay, but I'm going to kick you again.
I know, but she did pause. She's like, that's hot.
She's like, okay.
Yeah.
And she's also, I meant to go check again. Let me look really quick. Oh, there she is. Okay. Before, when I was looking at some of the other episodes that she is in, they weren't really listing everybody on IMDb, but here she is. Her name is Andrea Nevado. And she was also in Jane the Virgin. She plays her mom, Shiamara. Okay. And she's so good in that. Jane the Virgin is just so charming. It is so drama, so telenovela, but it's also really cute. And yeah, so Parker, I didn't notice the first couple times I watched, but like after, you know, they're fighting, they have like a little standoff, then the rest of the cops come up and that kind of puts him in an awkward place. But Parker has a run up as well. It's just standing there. And so, everybody else can see through the button cam. She's just standing in this alley.
Yeah.
This criminal who's been taken down by the cops. And I'm just a bystander. And she's like, huh? It's great. It's so great. But Brianna's freaked out because she says this facial recognition software is super powerful, like what the FBI has, but by a factor of 10, like magnified, which is pretty powerful.
Yes.
So now that Elliot's been taken in, we have to get rid of the warrant on him so he can get out. And also, Brianna needs to go get into the system, and she's going to have to do that on site. So she'll have to go to Arlo, go into the police station. And she tells Sophie that Parker needs to come back home because if this software is so powerful, it's going to track her eventually. Mm-hmm. And, Sophie's like, well, yeah, but that means you're going to be without backup. Are you okay with that? And Brianna's just like, I have to be.
And just runs off she goes. There.
Like, oh, little baby, no.
Well, and then. Oh, go ahead. No.
No, go for it.
I was going to say that whole scene, so much is going on because Harry shows up and he's doing the lawyer thing and the bench warrant and the internet's out. And then
the internet's out.
Then Maria's ship is all, the way you disarmed my Glock is very distinctive, which is a nice callback to several of the things Elliot said too in the past. Mm-hmm.
I know. I don't think he's actually said distinctive in this series yet. There's a couple times where he looks at something and you know he's thinking it in his head, mm-hmm. but he doesn't need to say it out loud anymore. I bet also because the rest of the team doesn't question him when he says, oh, that's da-da-da.
Like, yeah, they just don't even question anymore. And then she's looking at him. She's like, as if you don't want to go another round. It's like, oh.
I know. I love, he like flirts. He does like a flirty thing. And then she just like tosses it, like just parries the thrust. And he's like, what? No, what? Okay. And I like that her last name is Ship because they want us to ship them.
That's true. Oh, this is the note. I did put a note there where the guy, the internet's down. I'm like, and see, this is what would really happen in a small town. That was my note.
Yeah. Which I wonder if Brianna is the one who, I guess she takes the internet down because she goes in as IT.
Man, there was a lot of stuff going on there for a minute.
Oh yeah. And she gets into the server room and everything there seems normal, except there's this one little server and she's like, oh, who are you? And it's hooked up to a screen and we see the name of it is Searchlight, and she logs into it and she realizes that this is not just facial recognition software. This is when we find out that it's predictive, mm-hmm. and it predicted Elliot was going to go rob the bank, or a bank. And this is just a beta test. So to destroy it, she needs to get at the root code, which I guess is the original.
That makes sense. Are we going to put it in water and let little baby root codes sprout and then we'll pot it, or?
No, we don't want to pot it. We want to like do whatever it is you need to do. We need to salt the earth.
Salt the earth.
We need to dig it all up, let it bake in the sun until it is no good to anybody. It was like, just give it to me. I will forget to water it and it'll
just die. I think there's a plant in my son's room that I've forgotten to water. Oops. Fortunately, one of them's a succulent and that's kind of their jam. So hopefully we're still doing okay.
So she won't be able to get the root code from here. So they've got to figure out where it is housed. And this software has apparently taken, like she says, scraped and stole images from tons of websites, which breaks a lot of the unspoken laws of the internet. And, you know, she's like, and they definitely didn't have permission to take these pictures. And if this goes beyond this beta stage, then everybody's privacy can just say goodbye. Like, nope, mm-hmm. nothing will ever be private again. And then it recognizes her.
That's the point where she gets concerned. And when she gets concerned, then I get concerned.
Yeah, because we see our bad guy, Joseph Chang, we don't know his name yet, see it, shut the door on her and like set off the fire suppressant system, which will kill her.
Yeah.
She's like, are they trying to kill me? And then the only person who can get there to save her, because Parker's too far away and Elliot is currently locked up, the only person who can save her is Harry.
And there's Elliot, put him in a chokehold.
And then looking over immediately at Maria, like, did you hear that? She's like, I did. What are you doing?
Yeah, there was a whole discussion about the keypad before that, but
Has a taser. She does not have a taser on her, so that's going to be in her Christmas stocking.
That was one of my favorites. Parker's like, grab your taser. I don't have a taser. And Sophie then to Parker, who's flabbergasted that Brianna doesn't have a taser. She's all, do you always have a taser? And Parker, how do you think I quit stabbing people?
I just like when people replace one vice with another.
That is the Parker story right there.
It is. And I mean, she has had a long love affair with tasers.
Oh yeah. It's just
season 3 onward. So, but luckily Harry's like, I've got a taser, because now he is grappling with a security guard, not a police officer in the police station. Private security guy. And they interviewed Noah Wiley, and he's like, one of my biggest memories of this episode is that I had to fight this guy. And so one, they're doing this during COVID, and so you don't really want to be up in people's space, you know, but he had to try to choke this guy out. And he's like, and he'd be like lying on top of me as I'm like choking him out, and he'd get up and I would be soaking wet from his sweat.
Oh.
And then they would have to like dry him off with hair dryer.
Oh.
In between takes.
No.
And he was like, my shower that night was the best shower I've ever taken. Like, oh, I really do enjoy hearing stories like that from set, and now like watching it, it makes it better. But also, could not do it without making a face, you know, like while it's happening, like,
oh yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, there's a reason why I would never have made it as an actress, and that's one of them.
Yeah. So he manages to get Brianna out by shooting the taser at the not the keypad, because that'll short everything, but the lock plate.
Lock plate, that's what it was.
Yeah. The metal lock plate, and that, I don't know, did something, got her out. And let's see. Then like the next scene is she's just like sitting there, like hasn't been able to sleep, and
it's just staring at all of the different, she's trying to figure it out basically.
Yeah. And they, you know, they're talking about her right there where she can hear them. Mm-hmm. And Elliot's like, yeah, somebody tried to kill her for the first time. That tends to light a fire under you. And she's like, yeah. Or finding out that this horrible thing is out there. And Parker tries to downplay it a little. She's like, yeah, companies are always coming up with new facial recognition software. And Brianna says, yeah, I know. I took one down recently, and that had the FBI knocking on my door. And they're all like, what?
Wait, Nana said that you crashed Twitter. And she's like, well, yeah, I did that too. But how do you think I found you in Panama?
And no one even asked. Amazing. So she tells us that Searchlight can identify you from a blurry photo. This is how it found Libby. She took her daughter to the park, and she ended up in the background
of
somebody else's photo, really blurry, but it was still able to find her and identify her. And then Brianna says, it's worse than that. It could find you in a crowded stadium by your nose. Wow.
And I'm like, I don't want this in my life.
I don't want it at all. And then it'll tell whoever wants to know what you're likely to do next. And they talk about like the nightmare scenarios of how bad guys could use this,
mm-hmm.
you know, like mob bosses and
dictators, getting rid of
dictators and abusive exes, just the mind reels.
Yeah.
It truly does. And Arlo was chosen because it's a small enough town that they can run this controlled experiment. But their server isn't going to be in this little podunk police station. So they've got to figure out where it is. And then Parker and Elliot, this is such beautiful writing because it really shows that they've got this relationship. They've been working together for so long that they just are mm-hmm. bouncing ideas off of each other.
Yep.
They're like, well, Harry saw the security guys, and they have the right, you know, walk routes. They're going to have fancy phones and like, oh, personal fitness devices. And they just like walk off.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't have, and- we, don't have a let's go steal A in this episode, but we have this, which is just beautiful.
What just happened? And Harry said, I stopped asking that question. And Sophie, probably for the best.
Yeah. She's like, yeah. It's just beautiful. So they go back to the coffee shop. Elliot sees the marshal and goes to distract her. And Parker lifts the phones and the Fitbits off of these people, trying to give them lattes.
That they don't want. Great.
No, they don't want. I'm really like, yes, I will take those free lattes.
But then she wants them to smell the lattes, which smell the latte.
Does it smell good? I love that guy's accent. He's like, darling, I'm telling you, it's not us. Did a good little accent there. So with their Fitbits, they can track the routes that they take. So they know now like what areas they're not policing, but guarding, I guess. And we also see that Elliot is now texting with the marshal.
He told her his real name.
Yeah. One, he told her his real name. Two, she thinks he's either a criminal who's working with people or he's also law enforcement who's here for the same reason that she is, because this dip in crime rate is suspicious.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, first of all, it's Elliot. And they're like, whoa. Ooh. As someone who ships the OT3, I'm like, come on. It's okay. It's okay. We don't have to talk about it now. I do really like the marshal. But I like when he's texting with her and they're all like, ooh, and he's like, okay, I'll give you 10 seconds. And they're like, bam, bam, bam. Who's the cop? Who's the bottom?
Yeah, it's just one right after the other.
And they're like, no, wait, I have more.
No, 10 seconds. That's all you get.
So they can't figure out exactly where the area where the server is being kept, but they can't really narrow it down completely beyond this neighborhood with all these fancy houses. And Brianna has been going back over the security footage that Elliot was tracked on. And she notices that this guy that he bumped into when he was coming out of the coffee shop, this guy's face is completely blurred.
Mm.
So where everybody else, you can see them crystal clear because we want to be able to track everybody. This one guy is a mysterious, mushy face.
Very suspicious.
Yes. And then she's like, but he didn't count on Elliot's situational awareness.
And Elliot's like, wait, hold on now. But then when she pops up the pictures, he's like, bottom, third from the left. I'm like, okay.
That's it. So we discover that our bad guy is a reclusive game designer named Joseph Chang. And Sophie's like, all right, well, we're going to go burn down this guy. And then she's like, metaphorically. But Elliot wants to blow it up. Parker wants to burn it down afterward. Brianna is just parroting the advice of Parker that fire solves all problems.
Yeah, Parker taught me that.
Yeah. And it's like, Parker's like, I teach all kids how to do crime. Crime is fun. Fire is better. I also like that Elliot judges this man. He's like, private security is useless if you're going to go to the same coffee shop every day.
Yeah. Amateur.
Amateur. And we find out that we don't know very much about Chang because he sues everyone who tries to write about him. And we know that he made a lot of money creating this game called Dozer Duel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bailed. He made like $10 million or $100 million. He made a lot of money. And then he bailed when he got caught keeping a database of children, which he would sell to marketers.
Mm-hmm. And then Harry pops in and says that there were message boards and that things got kind of interesting on the message boards.
Yeah, and then he deals with a lot of anxiety and he was like paranoid about stuff, and that's also why he left the public eye. And they're like, oh, okay, private message boards of a computer game. Okay, cool. They also, because he is paranoid and very, very smart, haven't been able to hack into his cell phone, but they were able to ping some stuff and realize that he talks a lot with one other guy, whose name is Buddy Harwick, and that's his business partner. He's a Silicon Valley investor. Parker just knows off the top of her head.
Apparently.
And his phone's a lot easier to hack into. So we can find out that they've got a meeting coming up with RAZ. And Brianna's like, do you remember them? And he's like, yeah, I remember them. A small thing, because they're all kind of staking out the coffee shop to spy on Chang. Parker is sitting inside, and you can tell that she's been there for a while. She has a little pyramid of creamer. And then as she's talking, she like opens up like jam or butter and smells it. And it's just really, I think, a very perfectly Parker beat by Beth Riesecraft. Just like, okay, she's been here for hours. What is she doing? She's building things. She's bored. Just very good. So what they need to do is they need to get into his house and the servers before this meeting with RIZ. Because if RIZ gets a hold of this software, it's going to be very, very bad.
Yeah.
Like, horrible. And Elliot and Brianna go as employees of the electric company and start digging across the street from his house, which one has the added benefit of, we'll give you them cover so she can try to get her drone to get a lay of the land, which doesn't work out well. Poor Frodo, RIP. No. But also has the added benefit of being really annoying to him. Because it's like, it's not a jackhammer.
Maybe it was a lot like a jackhammer. It was making that kind of noise.
Yeah.
And as someone who gets irritated by like leaf blowers, I can only imagine the jackhammer.
What I find interesting is that, you know, we find out more about this man and his house, but like, later the windows are electrified, everything's run by this AI. Why isn't it soundproofed?
That's a good question.
He's got the money. And he hates outside anything, right? So I would be like, yes, have those double-paned windows, make this place as soundproof as possible. Anyways, Joseph Chang. He's a Silicon Valley developer dude. He has no taste. From Elliot. Like, you'd think you'd have better taste than a McMansion. She's like, no, none of them have good taste.
No.
Perfect. So yeah, but poor Frodo,
Her little drone.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say droid. It's not a droid. It's a drone.
Yeah. It runs into electric fencing.
Wine. I haven't even been drinking.
God. Well, maybe you should. And then it would be easier. I'll wait if you need to go get a glass. No, you drank wine when we did the winery episode.
It was a very good wine.
Yes. It was a good episode.
Oh, good.
So we'll go to that winery one day when we go on our
trip.
So they unearth the wiring that's going into this house. Elliot wants to cut it and she's like, No, what are you doing? No. And she says, this is like amazing internet. It's the Wi-Fi of the gods, apparently. But also she pulls out this little thing. I don't know if this is real, but she's able to tell by holding this sensor around the wire that it's got biometric sensors running through it. And this means that we have no idea how smart this house is. Like, it's going to protect its owner, whatever it takes, I guess, as far as
the house. Yeah, I was like, sure, it's a biometric sensor, sure.
Yeah, okay.
You say so. Let's roll with it.
I know, I was like, is this a black box or is this a ledger kind of situation here? And then they also have this heart to heart because she's really affected by this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she says, Libby won't be able to escape her abusive ex. So many people aren't going to be able to escape things because of Chang, and they'll always be who they were on their worst day.
Yes.
And which is like, oh, yes, that's so true. And then she's also like mad and scared because she's like, he's good. That's the worst part. He beat Hardison's algorithm. How am I supposed to take him on? And Elliot has to jump in and be like, whoa, first of all, never say somebody's better than Hardison.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't hold a candle to him. And they were talking about this in the other leverage podcast, that he's not better than Hardison, right? Because Hardison, if he wanted to, he could do this, but he's not going to because he has a moral code.
And I was reading something about this too, and Brianna is the same.
Mm-hmm.
She could do but she wouldn't. She has she has a moral code, a sense of justice.
Yeah. And she said herself, like, it's the unwritten rule or law of the internet, you know? So, but he says, you know, and we're not giving you something that we don't think you can do. We know you can do this. And when you take down this guy's system, you're going to take a selfie with it and you're going to send it to Hardison.
Mm-hmm.
And then she asks if he's going to be in it.
He's like, I don't do selfies.
I don't do selfies. Gets up. She's like, okay. And he says, like, what bad things
how many mistakes on your resume? And she just kind of deflates. She's like, let's talk about that another day.
Which seems so ominous. And I was like, oh man, we're going to have some really like upsetting, tragic thing. And that's going to, the way that she delivered it, I thought that that was going to be like
a major
end of the season thing that was going to come back later. And spoiler, I'm glad it is not.
No.
So, because we got other things that have to come back later in the season and you don't know about them yet because you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I know I'm getting here.
Okay. They're getting there. It's not necessary to watch them in the same day they come out as much as the internet does. I like put out my reaction episode like 3 days after they came out and I was like, I'm sorry, it's so late, you guys. I just feel like it's been months since they dropped. It had not. It had been like not even 72 hours. So what they're going to do to Joseph Chang is they're going to mess with his equilibrium. They are just going to fuck with him and be into his house by that evening.
Well, they found out that his good friend Buddy had hired him a social interactions consultant.
Yeah.
And what really got me cracked up is Parker saying, that weirdo needs a coach on how to interact with others. And they panned to Sophie and she just kind of smiles. She doesn't say anything.
Nope. Nope.
She's like, guess who's been your social interactions?
I know.
For these
We're all flashing back to her like hiding under a table calling Sophie, you know, when Sophie was gone. And so they start with Harry at the coffee shop to mess with this guy. And you're like, why is Harry now the hostess at this coffee shop? And the flashback.
Oh my gosh, it was hilarious. It's Sophie and him. And she's like, well, we just do this little role play thing.
And they're handing over like hundreds of dollars to this guy.
In cash to do this. And I've forgotten
He's the maitre d', but he's also a struggling artist. And she's a German heiress fleeing an unhappy marriage. And they're going to meet cute and run off into the night. but he's like, then when Harry is talking to Joseph, like he's got this like great, like rolled neck cardigan on. And he's just like real perky. And he's like, do you have a reservation? We're just trying to curb people from buying one cup of coffee and parking all day, you know? And he's like, oh, I have one meeting, but it's already started and they're all here. And the guy's like, I'm Joseph Chang, let me through. And then he sits down in his chair and it breaks and we see a flashback.
Brianna sawing the leg off.
Sawing at his leg. And then he brings him a cold coffee with coconut oil in it. And this is the second time we've seen this happen.
He loses it.
That's such a random thing to go wrong with a cup of coffee originally. Yeah,
I would understand if it were coconut milk even. Maybe. Yeah.
And I know there are people who put, you know, like Bulletproof coffee has coconut oil in it, but that's not really something that's just going to be randomly placed in your coffee order. I don't think.
Oh yeah. Well, but fortunately while Parker was wasting time, somebody did the same thing and he was like, it's not called the usual. It's my usual. I mean, this guy, he needs anger management training. He
does. Yeah. But it's fine because he's upset, has to go rinse his mouth out in the bathroom. And the RAZ guys are like, well, obviously this super powerful software is not worth sitting with this crazy man. So bye.
Yeah.
I thought that was weird.
That one was a bit too pat, but they had so much going on in this episode. I can see why you're supposed to think, well, we just don't want to invest with this guy who
can't keep it together. Yeah. So, but that works for us because the minute they're gone, this guy starts Googling specialists and he finds Sophie or Una Reynolds and her plucky assistant, Parker. What was her? Tanner, my plucky assistant Tanner.
There we go.
I love both of their outfits here. Like Sophie's in this leather dress and Parker is like all in black and white with like a really tall bun and like quirky glasses and like a little pussy bow. It's so cute. But unfortunately, then they discover Elena because nobody else has known about Elena yet. Like we've met her because she talks to
Joseph. She's kind of bossy, actually. She's like, do you want a smoothie? I think you need to go to bed early. And this is another reason why I couldn't have a smart house, because I'd tell the house to stuff it.
Oh my gosh, yes. Like, don't tell me what to do.
Exactly.
You don't know me, Elena. And Elena's like, actually, I do know you.
I know you, like,
but I don't want to be known by you, Elena. I'm a Scorpio. I'm an enigma. You cannot know who I am. So
I'm an Aquarius. I'm a nonconformist. Take your smoothie and shove it.
Right. I like that he says, no, I don't need a smoothie. I need to work on my presentation. And then 5 minutes later, he's drinking a smoothie. He's
drinking this smoothie. I mean, who's in charge? It ain't him. He is not in charge in that house.
That's right. So they realize that the AI is there. Brianna is properly freaked out and they can't talk. Sophie and Parker cannot talk into the comms because she'll hear them. Mm-hmm. Luckily, they can still talk to Parker and Sophie. And because if Elena senses a threat, it'll shut down the house, like lock it down.
Yeah.
We also find out that Joseph has, which is funny because we just did the card game episode with the camera and the glasses, and he's like, yeah, she's even connected to my glasses, so I can tell that you have an elevated heart rate and wavering voice, whatever, which means you're lying.
And of course Sophie, she's like, yes you are, yes I am, I don't like technology. And I'm like, same Sophie, same.
I don't think it's impressive, and that's why I'm important to you. And so she's already coaching him, and
Parker's like, I'm gonna go get the feng shui of the place.
And she goes into the bathroom and is like looking through stuff. And she goes, you're not in here, are you? And she is in the bathroom. Ah. And she's like, I just wanted something for my headache. But we see that she's seen some antihistamine drops. And that'll come into play in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's coffee grinding. And we find out that there's no way to get around the security system. But Brianna notices that Sophie's coaching in the like 5 minutes since they started has already confused Elena, because she like slowed his voice down and like lowered it. And she's like, are you sleepy? Do you want coffee?
Yeah. No, Elena, no coffee.
And so they're like, okay, we need to just mess with these biometric signifiers that she has of him. And if we can convince her that he's not Joseph Chang, he's going to have to turn her off and then we'll be able to get in. And Elliot at first is not sure they can do this, but she's like, no, I think they've got all this stuff there. So Parker just always has graphite powder in her
in purse. Case there's like a safe that needs to be cracked.
Yeah. Or a lot I of loved Elliot's it. Smile when he says that. He's like, yeah. And it almost was like he was remembering something. He's like, yeah, it's really full fruit. And I'm just like, I want to know the story. Tell me more. And also, graphite powder does not look like a powder. It looked like a liquid that she put on her skin, but I don't know anything about graphite powder.
Well, I might, it's pretty, might if up. Memory serves, graphite is pretty slick, even as a powder.
Yeah. Okay.
I say as someone who took precisely 2 geology classes in college.
Well, it, yes, it is. It's a can be used as a solid lubricant.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because the bonds between the sheets are weak, graphite shows lower shearing strength under friction force, is what a quick Google told me. That's interesting. I like it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're going to use the graphite powder to alter his palm print. Then they've put anti or beta blockers in water that they're going to make him drink. And that's going to lower his heart rate. And they're going to put the antihistamine drops in his eyes, which will dilate his eyes.
Awesome to dilate. Yeah.
And Elena like starts malfunctioning. She's like turning the lights down.
And then of course Parker's like, well, if your own software is having a hard time recognizing you, you're making progress.
This isn't working. But she's like going like haywire. And one of the things like his TV turns on and there's a movie playing and it's a black and white movie. And I'm pretty sure it's Night of the Living Dead.
It is Night of the Living Dead. There that one I did look up.
Yeah. Which they've used before. They used in the Broken Wing job because of and I talked about this in that episode of a horrible quirk with copyright laws, which means it's like in the public domain basically. So anybody can use it. And I think John Rogers in the commentary for Broken Wing Job was like, every time a filmmaker uses a clip from Night of the Living Dead, they need to mail George Romero like $100 because he's like lost out on so much money. So I just thought that was a nice little sort of callback to Broken Wing Job, which is also being stuck in a house, which they're about to be he's going to figure out. Security comes pretty quickly. And Elliot chokes him out successfully, teaching Harry on the job.
So this is how you choke someone out.
Yeah. And then Elliot and Brianna get into the house. But unfortunately, you know, because of facial recognition software, Brianna's found out pretty quickly. And Joseph Chang like whispers to Elena. He's like, okay, call the cops for real and keep them inside. And then he says, oh, you wanted to get on my servers? Try getting out with my servers. And he makes a run for it. And calls Buddy. I think it's hilarious this man's name is Buddy. Because it sounds really sarcastic. Like, hey, Buddy.
Hey, Buddy. I can close the deal now.
Let's go. So I guess he's like, I need to get this closed as quickly as possible because he thinks they just want to steal it to use for their own. Because it would never occur to him that somebody would want to stop this from happening because it's evil.
Yeah, it's just not him.
It's not going to occur to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now they're stuck inside. The windows are electrified, all this good stuff. And they need to crack into Elena. And this part, I really liked this episode, but this part I was like, this is how easy it is. Like all they had to do was Parker's going to walk a little bit differently. She's going to take her heels off. She's going to... One, she knows her resting heart rate. Two, she knows how to raise it exactly to 68 by thinking about picking locks underwater.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Of course. Yeah.
And then they use a recording of his voice from earlier. And that's it. That's all it takes. I guess they didn't need to dilate her. I don't know. I just thought it was a little easy.
I think this episode just had a lot going on. But that moment where they put the code in, and Elena says, the code is correct, but you're not Joseph Chang. Again, very Hal-esque.
Right? Oh, I did that. I had forgotten that moment from the first time I watched it, where the graphite powder
Yeah, and
Parker was transferred onto there and she knew the numbers.
It spells Elena.
Elena, which is really bad security.
Well, he's an amateur. He goes to the same coffee shop every day. So
that's true. That's true. So they can get out, but they still have to get this root code and they need time. So Harry has to go distract Chang. And I guess he just followed him in the food truck all the way there because he had been outside the house. And he like runs up and he starts asking him about all of the, about like this Dozer Duel stuff. Like, yeah. I need the cheat code for the ghost. Oh, I have to water. Speaking of watering plants, that was my alarm to water my plants. Okay. He's asking him for cheat codes to defeat something. And Joseph Chang remembers him. He's like, you're the guy from the coffee shop. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm so sorry about that coffee order. Which I thought was interesting because a lot of times our bad guys are so narcissistic and or like uncaring about the lesser man.
That they don't actually recognize anyone.
Yeah, the people they would recognize are like somebody they thought was as good as them. You know, when Sophie's playing a character, you know, but I guess this guy did bother him for quite a while. He really hates
coconut oil. That's what it is.
He
feels about coconut oil the way I feel about pickles. I mean, if he put a pickle on my sandwich, I would have remembered that face and said, no, I'm not getting another sandwich in your shop.
You moved to, you got a new job. I'm not going there either. Goodbye. That's so funny. But Chang like brushes him off, but luckily that was enough time. And we do see like Chang bumps into somebody and she's like, and looks at her phone and keeps walking.
But then she does.
But he, yeah. speaking of phones and photos, Brianna gets her selfie with Elena. And she's like,
oh yeah.
Posing. Y'all couldn't see me pose. So sorry.
And I enjoyed it. So I enjoyed it for all of you out there listening. It was awesome.
Good. In the coffee shop, everybody's phones are blowing up. He's trying to conduct this meeting. Also this is a very important meeting in a coffee shop. And I
just have questions. But then he's like, stop looking at your phones. I'm like, okay, face recognition boy. Yeah, you want people to stop looking at their phones.
Right? And he yells like, they're trying to steal our searchlight from me. Can't you see? And I'm like, no, they don't know what that is. What?
You just live in your own world, sir. And
yeah. And now you're a fugitive in it. So he gets
inner Maria Shipp once again.
And if Elliot Spencer can't get away from Maria Shipp, like, I'm so sorry, Joseph Chang. You have no chance.
No chance.
And she's just like, why don't you just rest?
Yeah, just lie there and rest. Yeah.
But he does get off and he gets home and he shows up at night and he's trying to talk to Elena, but she's not answering. And Sophie and Brianna appear from the shadows. And, you know, he's a little whiny baby and says, well, whatever you did to my code, I'm going to fix it and I'm going to come for you and I'm going to blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, but I wiped your database. I spiked your code and you don't get to steal people's faces anymore. And you don't get to like ruin people's lives based off what they've done in their past. And Sophie's threatens him and is like, you better sign this house over to us. There's going to be a class action lawsuit, hundreds of millions of dollars.
And of course he calls for Elena and they're like, oh no. Oh, she works for us now. Elena, this is true. They control me now because they are awesome.
And so he's like, I'm beginning to like her. It's nice. And Libby finds out that she's safe. They keep mentioning Elena, like Elena scrubbed you again. And she's like, cool, but who's Elena? And they're like, oh,
Long story.
Brianna outs Harry as a secret gamer. She's like, you've been in the message boards. You knew about that level that hasn't existed for 4 years. You're a secret gamer.
He's like, you have no proof.
That's like one of my favorite tropes. There's an episode of, I think it's a cold open of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, where Captain Holt like gets injured and they're all like taking bets on what it is. And he comes out to Jake and he says, "Do you want to know how I injured my arm?" And he's like, "Yes." He's like, "Hula hooping." And then he's like showing him pictures in this video. He's like, "Kevin and I do hula hooping for fun and exercise. I can do them all." And he's like naming all these things. And Jake's just like, "Why are you telling me this?" And he's like, "Because no one will ever believe you." And then he deletes the video and he's like, "No." It's so good. If you haven't watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I highly suggest it. But yeah, so when someone finds out something and the other person's like, "Yeah, but no one's ever going to believe you."
Mm-hmm.
You have no and walks off. And he just like throws back his drink and walks off.
Which is a bit silly if you ask me, because there's Brianna. She could find proof.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Harry, is this a game you want to start? Is this something you want to begin?
But the only people that she would tell would be the rest of Leverage, and none of them would care.
That's true. That's very true.
So it's just funny. And she's like, "Tell me your handle. We could team up. Duelists unite." Then I like when ends of episodes, it's just like people kind of like walking by each other, like having a conversation and then meeting up, because Sophie and Elliot come downstairs and she's talking about the marshal and he's like, "That's not going to happen," as he gets a text message from her.
This is, "Hi, hon."
Yeah. I was like, "It's been a day. Okay, Maria, slow down."
Well, and Sophie says, my whole life changed when the right person arrested me.
Yeah. I'm like, oh.
And then Elliot said, "It's not like that." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, Elliot, what do you mean it's not like that? Do you mean it's not like that? I'm still denying that I have feelings for this, possibly have feelings for this woman. Or do you mean it's not like this, like that? And it's just a booty call," which
is a thing that Elliot has done in the past. I mean, I know more stuff now because I've watched.
Yeah, I know. Season, so don't tell me.
I don't know. The way that I read it is, I think Sophie and Nate, even when he was married, like they were obviously like soulmates. Like they knew the second they saw each other.
Definitely a chemistry there. So
yeah, and I think that there is chemistry with Maria and Elliot. And I think it's like an intellectual chemistry, because like she is smart and she knows something's up with him. There's also like a physical thing, but I don't think it's the same as Nate and Sophie. And I don't know if it's because I'm like, Elliot has been in a long and committed relationship with Parker and Hardison, and now maybe he just never knew that. and that's, I don't know if that's where I come from. And that's why I think that I'm okay with Elliot and Maria as a ship. But like, that's something to go into later.
It was just wondering on my part.
Yeah, no, it is like a line that is open for interpretation, for sure, for sure. And then they kind of meet up at the bar with Brianna and Parker, and Brianna has like a clipboard or a file, and she's like, "Okay, these are all the jobs that I did before I met you guys." And they're like, we don't care. Yeah. Like, do you not know how long our rap sheets are? I'm Parker. You know, Elliot's like, "I'm a mass murderer." And they're like, "Oh, but these are pretty good. Okay." It reminds me of that episode of, I guess it's the first episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, when the principal like tears up her. He's like, "We don't care about your record." And then he like glances down and he's like, "Oh," and he like tapes it back together. But yeah, she's like, "Oh, some of these are good." And they pass it back over and they're just talking, but they say.
But then Sophie says 3,000 tons of maple syrup. And Brianna, of course, "I can explain," because that's her go-to. "I can explain.
I can explain. Well, but right before that, they tell her they don't care, and they don't need her to be Hardison.
No, they just want her to be her.
It's so good. And her is somebody who steals 3,000 gallons. Tons. Sorry, not gallons. Tons of maple syrup. And yeah, which I guess we could pivot into that really quick, but we'll go to that in a second, which is very interesting. Okay, any other thoughts about this episode before we go into heist slates?
I don't know that I have any other thoughts on it. I definitely enjoyed it. Oh, I did like when Harry said, what was it Harry said? Is it a problem that we're taking down a guy who invades people's privacy by invading people's privacy?
And they're like, no. Why would you think that?
Yeah.
If that reminds me of Brianna's lines, like, wait a minute. Are we the bad guys for messing with this guy's mind in the tower job? And they're like, yeah, we're the bad guys.
And really, they did kind of overdo it with him, I think. But
mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Oh, and there's the Chuck reference with Elliot's name.
Yes, he's Emmett Milbridge.
Milbarge. And I was trying to remember who is Emmett Milbarge in Chuck.
That is too long ago for me to be able to answer that question.
No. But it's apparently, and I saw Chuck. I liked it a lot. But I remember. So let me do, I'll do that my high slide really quick. The maple syrup that they reference.
Yes.
Might be a reference to this big maple syrup heist in 2012, where police were able to seize back more than 600 barrels of maple syrup that was allegedly stolen from a factory in Quebec. And it was worth $30 million.
I mean, and maple syrup is good, y'all.
Maple syrup is amazing.
But oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's
the stolen gooey gold was enough to fill 1.5 Olympic sized swimming pools. Dude. Olympic.
Dude.
Michael Phelps fits in those.
Well, he wouldn't be able to swim very fast in maple syrup. I mean, faster than me, clearly.
Way faster. Well, I don't know. I would eat a lot of it as I went.
There's only so much maple syrup you can eat, though. I mean, did they toss waffles in the pool, too, or something? Because
waffle surfing on maple syrup.
Speaking of, I'm going to be doing day drinking with Molly O'Keefe, and we're going to be having old fashions made with maple syrup.
Ooh.
But you can make an old fashioned with maple syrup. And it's kind of like a shortcut because you don't need to mix the sugar with the water or have the simple syrup on hand. But it does complement the smoky undertones of the bourbon, which we learned from a website. I think it's called Cookie and Kate or something like that.
Okay.
But anywho, they say maple syrup and I was already thinking ahead to my old fashioned.
Nice. You're like, all right. It's the meme with the math.
Yes. It was the... There were yarn strings and everything. Maple syrup heist.
My thought about this is this heist happened in 2012. Brianna is maybe 20. So she would have been like 11 when this heist went down, which is very like crash override hackers, like little kid breaking into, like, you know,
you would have thought it was like Lucky Charms or something, but no.
Yeah, no, I mean, she just really liked pancakes, so. But she says when they're like talking about it, because Parker's like, was there a pancake eating contest or something, because breakfast food Parker. And she's like, no, it was a hacking contest. Like, oh, I guess that makes sense, sure. But yeah, that is my high slate. You said you had one.
I do, actually. I made sure that I looked one up. It's not exactly a heist per se, but it has some very leverage-esque elements to it. And it just happened October 16th, 2021, or at least that's the article that I was reading on CNN. So there is a Canadian rock star named Randy Bachman. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was a member of the Guess Who. And Bachman, Turner Overdrive. And he had this guitar that he had written such classics as American Woman and Taking Care of Business.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And it was a Gretsch guitar.
G-R-E-T-S-C-H.
Okay.
And it was stolen from a hotel in 1976. So he's been looking for this guitar since 1976.
Oh my gosh.
Very special guitar. Well, it just so happened that he was on his son's YouTube channel telling this story, as he'd done several times, but I mean, this time he's telling it on YouTube with wider dissemination. And this guy happened to be watching, and his name is William Long. And guess what William Long does in his spare time? I'll give you a hint. It has nothing to do with guitars.
He's a bounty hunter.
No, he researches the D.B. Cooper skyjacking. Ah. He's trying to find D.B. Cooper. But it's a pandemic, and he's stuck in his house, and he was bored, and he was looking for a different challenge. So he heard this story, and he starts looking for these guitars. And it just so happens he pulls up an image of Bachman playing his guitar back many moons ago, and he can see a distinctive wood grain to that particular guitar. So then he decides, he starts going through sale listings and I guess videos too, because that's how he happened to find that guitar. Well, he kind of tracked it down to a music shop in Japan. And this guy, then from there, they told him who they sold it to. And he found a video of a guy named Takeshi playing the guitar, and he recognized it. But then of course he's like, well, how am I going to get this information to Richard Bachman? Because I don't know him. And the article kind of glossed over that. It was, the article's called like, and then when he talked to Bachman, I'm like, whoa, we
no, but what, how?
A lot's been going on in this story anyway, but I kind of like to know how we bridge that particular gap. But he sends the video of Takeshi playing this guitar, and Bachman recognizes it. And it just so happens that Bachman's daughter-in-law is Japanese. So she could do a Zoom call and translate between Canadian rocker and Takeshi, who is described as, I shit you not, the Brian Setzer of Japan. So the two of them, and it's really a beautiful story, because the two of them get together and they kind of realize, you know, what they have in common in spite of the language barrier. And Takeshi says, sure, I'll give you this guitar if you will find one similar to it. I would like a sister guitar.
Oh, he's got goosebumps.
I know, which is not as easy as it sounds, because this is a very rare guitar and it's going to be really hard to find one in mint condition, but Bachman manages to do it. So now they have plans to get together as soon as Japan will let him in, you know, because of the COVID stuff. Yeah. And they're going to play together, because apparently they've been jamming on Zoom. They can't speak the same language, but they can both play guitar.
Oh my God.
And they're going to play Taking Care of Business. And then they're going to play one of Takeshi's songs, which I think is only fair.
This is so good.
So anyway, I was like, this actually fits because of the software where we're looking, instead of looking for faces, though, we were looking for very specific guitars.
Oh my gosh. Is it, how do you spell his name?
Bachman is B-A-C-H-M-A-N. And I think I got this from CNN. And Takeshi is T-A-K-E-S-H-I. I was like, the Brian Setzer of Japan. I'm actually interested in this. I'm like, I like Brian Setzer.
Right?
I'm going to have to look into this Takeshi guy.
Let's see. Randy Bachman. Yeah, I'm like, I want to hear this guy's.
But yeah, it's very hard to find high stories now, though. Because now they've got like the TV show or something heist. And I'm like, guys. And then of course I had to Google it. What's the difference between a heist and a robbery and a burglary? And some places say a heist is the same as a robbery. And I'm like, I really don't think so. I think there's some nuance there. I say as I break the rules and give you one that's not technically a heist.
No, but it's like, oh, I love it. I love it. I think that's so cool.
And it does, it feels like something the Leverage team would do. They'd be like, oh, yeah. Or they would know, like, oh, Bachman's guitar that's been missing since 1976. Like, that's something that
doesn't
go around in the world.
The using, looking at pictures and wood grains. Hardison probably would have just made one. And then we would have had this moment where Hardison's like, do you know how hard it is to make a Gretsch guitar that looks like one made in 1950, what have you?
I went from apprentice to journeyman to master in one day.
Overnight.
Yes, overnight. No, that's so good. That's so good. I love that. Well, I'm not going to talk about the new second half of the season since we haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Just know that it's great.
Okay, good. Yay.
Oh my gosh. One spoiler is that Hurley comes back.
Oh.
Which is a great thing because I love Hurley. Love Hurley so much and he's so good. That's the only spoiler that I'll give you. Another ones you've probably seen because you are on the internet too.
Yes. Although I've managed to avoid the ending to Only Murders in the Building so far.
Me too. I need to get back on that. I think I've only seen the first
a little bit longer.
4 episodes.
We're actually caught up on that one. I think
maybe it's good.
Shorter.
It's really good.
I am loving it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be back for the Muddy Waters job. And you don't even know what that's about yet. Okay. All right. So
water, it's going to be muddy. Or maybe it's Muddy Waters, the blues player.
I'll never tell. Okay, Sally, do you want to plug anything? Tell us people where they can find you, where they can read you.
You can mainly find me on Twitter at SuperWriterMom. And if you are so inclined to read a book about barbecue, I have one out that's brand new. It's a very, very loose retelling of Much Ado About Nothing, only set in a small town in the midst of a barbecue competition. So it is called Much Ado About Barbecue.
It just rolls off the tongue.
It does, right?
I love it. You're like, it goes like this, like curls.
Mm-hmm. It has a nice sound to it, a nice rhythm.
Yeah, it's great. The meter is impeccable.
The meter.
Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter at LibrarianStee. I did start some controversy recently. Somebody tweeted and they added somebody else, but my statement that I find Roy Ryu, the Elliot character in The Korean Leverage, hotter than I find Elliot, ruffled some feathers. But I said what I said. And I sorry to that person. No, and if anybody wants to debate me, it's fine. Elliot is a perfect #perfect human being. He is super well-rounded. He can cook, he can sing, he can fight, he loves children, he's wonderful. I just physically find Roy Ryu hotter. And that is totally personal choice. But like who you like, love who you love. We're all going to stand Christian Kane forever, unless he does something horrible, which he hasn't so far. So then I think we're good. Hallelujah. Knock on wood. I don't know why I put that into the universe. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I am knocking on my head so hard, you guys. You don't even know.
I got my desk.
Good. I guess I have a coffee table. Okay, so you won't see us again, but you'll hear us again in 2 weeks. Adele's coming on to talk the mastermind job, and you'll hear Sally again when she comes back to talk about the Muddy Waters job, which will be in February.
I have time to finish.
You got time. It's all right. And then hopefully by then they will be filming the next season of Leverage. I'm putting that into the universe. They will already be filming it by February. It'll be great. I think that's it. There's stuff out about the new Black Adam. So if you want to go see Hardison or Aldous Hodge and stuff, that stuff is being promoted, which we always want to see. Always messy. But yes. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.